Morning, it's a new day, and I'm Andy Mullen with Open the Bible, Forward in Hope's daily devotional podcast. Grab yourself a tea or a coffee, get your Bible, and open it up again to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Today we're going to read in chapter 2 and make a few comments upon it that I trust will be a help and encouragement to us. So, Philippians chapter 2. Let's read the chapter together. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ, Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labour, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And we trust God will bless the reading of that chapter of Philippians chapter 2. Now just a number of thoughts briefly as we've been reading down through it. First of all, we recognize that in the first number of verses, verses 1 down to verse 5, we have this exhortation from the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Philippi that their fellowship would be united. And in order for that fellowship to be united, they would have to be of one mind. And in order for them to be of one mind, there would need to be lowliness of mind, or humility, in each and every one of them. And so first of all, the first lesson we learn is this, the absolute need for humility in each of our hearts. As he says in verse number 4, look not every man on his own things. That's the natural tendency. We want to guard what's ours. But no, we should put ourselves just to the side. And rather than thinking of ourselves first and foremost, we ought to be able to think of others. Paul then goes on to set before us the greatest example of all, the example of Christ himself. And I was really just moved by the little phrase in verse 8. In this wonderful and magnificent Christological passage that runs from verse 5 all the way down to verse number 11. Here we have Christ set before us in all his glories. First and foremost, it's the glory of his humility. And then we see the glory of his exaltation. Christ did not exalt himself. That's pride. Christ humbled himself. But God the Father exalted him, having died upon the cross and finished that work which he came to do. But look at verse 8, just that little phrase. And being found in fashion as a man. Oh, what a find that was. Found in fashion as a man. Just think of it. The one that was found in fashion as a man was one whom Paul says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is the very Son of God, eternal, equal with the Father. The one who is the creator of heaven and earth. The one whom Isaiah could speak about as being the high and lofty one. And imagine, found. God found in fashion as a man. Oh, what humility. What humility. The heart of God revealed that he would humble himself to come down for us, for our blessing, for our salvation. But note then, the word humble does not come in relation to God becoming man, though that is humility itself. But then we read in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so here we see humility exalted above humility, if that makes any sense. The coming down of God himself to become a man, which is really beyond our comprehension, that is humility itself. But now we find that the one who humbled himself to become a man, and it's not described as humility in these verses, but then what is described as humility is that very one would give himself to the death of the cross. Utterly unthinkable. And so if Christ can do that, there is nothing too low for us to stoop to. That's a high calling upon each and every one of our lives. And so today, when the time comes and we feel the ego rising and we feel the pride coming, let us remember the example of Christ, the one who was found in fashion as a man. You could take a little thought and go and explore this in the Gospels and look and see where people found Christ. And think of the contrast that is brought out in those circumstances. The wise men came to seek a king. They found the child in the house. You think of Mary and Joseph. With the child Jesus, they thought he was in their midst, but then they discovered he wasn't. Where was he? They found him in the temple. You think about the disciples in John chapter 1. And there they found him who is called the Christ. They found him. And then Pilate, the governor, we read at the end of Luke's Gospel, he found in Christ no fault. The one that man would despise and accuse of perverting the nation. And Pilate says, I found no fault in him. Found. Maybe you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Saviour. Wouldn't it be wonderful if today, as you listen to this, you would find him who is your Saviour? The very God of eternity who has become a man to die upon a cross for your sin. God has highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is where Paul is going on to now. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. It means that I will submit to the Lordship of Christ in my life and I will live out my life as lights in this world. That's what he goes on to speak about a little bit later down the chapter in verse number 15. He says that you would work out your own salvation. This is not meaning that we have to keep working and doing good and being obedient in order to maintain our salvation. No, verse 13 says, it is God which worketh both in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The work of salvation is God's work. The work of sanctification is God's work. Yet there is a part that we must play. This is faith in action in this section. We see this, Paul refers to that down in verse number 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, this is what he's been talking about, your faith, working out your salvation. And in doing that, what are we doing? We are living as Christ would have us live in this world. Christ, the light of the world, now we are coming united with Christ. We ought to live blameless and harmless lives in this perverse scene that we may shine as lights in the world. Dear brother and sister, as we go out into the world today, let us seek to shine as lights in the world for Christ. Now, having spoken of humility and encouraged us to have lowliness of mind, having set Christ before us in all his glories and his humility, and having encouraged us in that active faith to live out that life of Christ, now Paul ends this chapter by setting two examples. Friends that are sent. Timothy, first of all, and then Epaphroditus. What do we learn about Timothy? He put Christ first in his life. Verse 21, all men seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ's. And the implication is that Timothy is one who did seek Jesus Christ. He did not seek his own will, but he sought to do Christ's will. And Paul commends Timothy very highly in those few verses from 19 to 24. And then Epaphroditus, what do we learn about him? Well, not so much that he put Christ first, but that he was willing to sacrifice himself. two friends that are sent to help the Christians. Oh, we need godly men and women who can come amongst us and help us, come beside us, who can set an example for us and show us how to live in this life. And so Paul ends the chapter there, and we end our little podcast there. We trust it's been a blessing to you, and we trust that as you go out into this day, that you may go in the spirit of these things to seek to live out Christ. And so we do trust that God will bless you. Thanks for listening once again.